The following is a production of Omnis.tv.
On this episode of Revelator, it's a double feature with Revel 9 talking about their new album and Saliva talking about their new album Rise Up here on Revelator.
Just sit back and enjoy the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Revelator. I'm your host, Ryan. Thanks for hanging out with me. And woo, yes, a double feature. We haven't done a double feature in a while. Totally stoked about this one. The new singer, Bobby, from Saliva will be joining us later in the show. And also a really cool band from New York, Revel 9. Really cool dude. So definitely stick around, check that out. But before we get in, we got a lot of things to get to, a lot of music, a lot of interviews. But, you know, Dave Bricky, the singer of Gwar, just recently passed away on March the 23rd. And, kind of a bummer, man. It was kind of one of those things where, like, there wasn't a lot of information, even at, you know, at that time and that hour, that evening. And a bunch of people were like, man, has anybody heard anything about this? And, you know, his details kind of came out and, you know, that the story was true. And really a bummer, man. I mean, I remember, privileged to see Gwar. If you've ever seen Gwar, you probably have a story of a giant dinosaur or some kind of maggot or, you know, bloody cum being sprayed everywhere, you know, and, it's just, you know, really entertaining, twisted show, you know. I mean, if you're entertained by that kind of thing, you'd probably like Gwar, you know. I remember the first time I actually had the Scum Dogs of the Universe tape. I may still have it somewhere, but Scum Dogs of the Universe, you know, that, I mean, who knew Gwar was so talented, you know, really, really were. It wasn't just a gimmick or a shtick. Those dudes could seriously play and been around a long, long time. And, kind of a bummer, you know, an underground, legend Gwar, you know, they did a lot for a lot of other bands, especially in the Virginia area. They gave Lamb of God some of their very first shows, you know, way, way back in the day. So, instrumental as far as, you know, the underground metal thrash scene. So those guys have been around a long time. Definitely a pretty heavy loss. But let's pick things up. Revel 9, DJ from Revel 9 will be joining us in a moment. But first, let's check out one of the tracks from their EP. It's called Without, here on Revelator.
Drags us away when you're
That is Without here on Revelator, and I'm joined now by the singer of the band, Revel 9. DJ, thanks for cutting some time out for us, man.
Oh, absolutely. It's totally my pleasure. It's always nice to have people like you guys to support us, because otherwise we wouldn't be doing anything other than just playing our CDs in our cars. You know? So thank you.
Well, hey, we appreciate people cutting some time out for us, and it's always a mutual thing. We've had I think you guys probably relate to this too. I think all independent bands do. Where it's a give and take when it comes to media, press, and radio and stuff, and not every station, not every outlet is accessible, and is willing to do things, But but we're all about doing what we do and having fun with it, and we don't pigeonhole ourselves in any category. We have as many bands on every week as we can. We've been doing it for a while, and we're a pleasure to have you guys on. Now, you guys have a new album, which we'll talk about in a moment. But the song we just heard, Without, which is off your EP called Razorblade Diaries. Now, talk to me about, when you guys released, it's been a couple years now since it's been out, but in your bio, it talks about how you guys musically kind of changed from 2010, 2011, and 2012. What was that process like for you of kind of changing the sound and just kind of, I guess, developing and growing as a band?
Well, I got to tell you, I don't recommend it, because it's not terribly a pleasant experience, but I find it is a necessary one. When, if you are in a place as a band where you're not supposed to be. And sometimes it's hard to sort of recognize that, and you rely on, kind of your judgment, your instincts, and you rely on good people around you to give you good, solid advice. And basically what had happened is that we were in a band called G-Davy, and we were at G-Davy for a few years. It had actually just started as like a studio project. Like, we weren't playing or anything, but some friends of mine and I got together, and we liked recording. So that's what we were doing. But then, around 2008, I think we actually turned it into a traveling band, an actual touring band. And it was more pop rock than anything else. It was like the stations that would play us, the FM stations that would play us, would be very much along the lines of playing like Foo Fighters, that sort of stuff, maybe some of the heavier stuff from like 3 Days Grace. But it was definitely a poppier sort of vibe, which is not my natural state of writing, but I can do it, and I do like it. Hey, it's hard to take away from a good pop song, Like, there's a reason the Juicy Fruit commercial is still popular after all these years. Like, it's just, it's a catchy song. And, get your skis shined up, that whole thing. So we were doing that, but the reality of it was, it's almost like a kid's market, and, we're not kids. I mean, we're not older, but, we're not 21, 22, and, we've done stuff. Like, we've written, records and toured, and, we've actually done real stuff, and it just, I didn't like where we were at in the pop rock scene. Like, I just didn't like who we were playing with all the time. It wasn't, and we weren't getting anywhere, and I think that at the end of the day, was the most important thing, because my producer, when I handed him, when I gave him the tracks that I wanted to be the Razorblade Diaries, I had written them as G-Davy. It was going to be the G-Davy record that followed She Sells Smiles, which is the last G-Davy record. And my producer, who I trust implicitly, I've known him for years, and he's worked with us, he basically said, he's like, we can do something different here. Like, we can kind of harness your natural writing ability, give this a harder edge, and move you guys back to hard rock. Basically what he said is kind of back to hard rock where you belong. And I was like, I don't know, man, we're doing all right. And he looked at it objectively, and he's like, are you really doing all right? Like, well, and he's right. Like, we were playing small places throughout the Northeast, and like, that is all right in a relative, in a relative way. Like, it's better than a lot of other bands around here, but it's certainly not great. It's certainly not where I wanted to be. And he's like, I think if we kind of go where you're sort of supposed to be, we can make something a lot better, and we can push you a lot further. Because, I mean, let's be clear, when you change, when you're a touring band, like a regional band, when you change your name, like, that's almost everything. The only other thing I had going for us at that point was my reputation as, as band manager and stuff. But you lose your name, I mean, like, when people see, oh, Revel 9's coming to town, they don't associate that with G-Davy anymore. So you just lost that potential fan or former fan or whatever. Like, you have to go and actually hunt these people down and explain to them, like, why you've changed. But when we decided to go more hard rock. G Davey just didn't apply anymore, and we needed a new name, and you know, we added a new guitarist, and we just bit the bullet and just did it, and it was a really hard process. And I know bands that have done that and not survived it. We did, and we, you know, my producer was right. We did. We were way better off for it. We commanded such a much deeper respect from the venues and the promoters and the fans and even the bands that we played with, because what we brought to the table was just simply better than what it was before. And, you know, that's, it makes it worth it, but it made it no less challenging to pull off.
No, I imagine that's kind of a scary thing too, to have that conversation where you feel like, you know, you're doing good, you're playing out, you know, pretty frequently, you know, in clubs and, you know, touring up and down the coast and whatnot. And then all of a sudden you're like, you know what, we're just going to go ahead and hit the reset button and redo, you know? So, kudos to you guys for sticking out and grinding out and, you know, doing this EP. And obviously, that kind of leads me into what we kind of alluded to earlier, was you guys have new material on the way sometime. I would, you know, this calendar year. I know we talked earlier about the deadline thing, but talk to me about, you know, the recording process this time around for you guys and, you know, the name of the album.
Okay, well, it's a little complicated this time out. We were all set. Like, a lot of this material was written maybe about a year. Not all of it, but some of it was written about maybe a year and a half ago. And the band has undergone some, like, significant personnel changes in the middle of 2012, in July. My rhythm guitar player passed away. And what basically happened after that is we were intending to start work on production of the new record in September of 2012. So we got very much derailed when he passed away. We fulfilled the dates that we had still on board, except for the immediate one that was like the day after he passed away. We canceled that, but we fulfilled the other dates we had on our calendar. But we also, the local community around here is kind of tight-knit, and they got together and they sort of decided that we wanted to put together a fundraiser, like a memorial fundraiser, because he left behind a 2-year-old daughter. And it was,
oh, wow, man.
Yeah, it was sad, and it was wrong, and it was all these other things. And, you know, musicians are emotional people. Like, we tap into what drives us as beings and spirits and souls and stuff like that. So you get moved really easy, especially when something that you care about is taken away from you. So, you know, we didn't really want to do anything. Like, we were just kind of, you know, like, out of it. But some friends of ours suggested, I want you to set up, like, an online fund so people can donate, because it's kind of our obligation to make people feel better. Like, when you're in that situation, like, it's your job, like, to make people around you feel better. But since we're all musicians, like, all our musicians' friends wanted to just, like, let's do a show, and we'll raise money that way. But we have so many friends that were so close to us and so close to Matt and stuff that we ended up having to do 5 shows. Like, we did 3 on Long Island. Long Island's big, so there were 3, and one in each section of Long Island, and then we did one in up in Connecticut, and we did one in Atlantic City, New Jersey. So we did 5 benefit shows. And this whole time, and they ended up running into January of last year, of 2013. So that whole time, everything else was kind of on hiatus. Like, I'd written most of the record, but, you know, when we were played with it, but we didn't go into pre-production yet. Where I showed my producer. But so everything was delayed then. So when January came around, like, I personally was exhausted, and I told the band, I was like, I need a month off just to sort of kind of deal with this, like, do my own grieving, I suppose, or, you know, and just sort of relax. But by the time February rolled around, or March even, I said to the band, I was like, look, I'm ready. Let's do this. Let's get back together. Let's do the record. We have the material. Let's do it. And the other remaining 2 guys in the band didn't want to do it anymore. They were out. They were in places in their life where it just wasn't conducive for what we were trying to do and what it was going to take for the next record. And, you know, the loss of Matt had definitely kind of altered the band forever. Like, there was no denying that. There just was. So in February or March, I basically was on my own. And I kind of had to figure out how I felt about that. Like, I've been running this band for years. It was, do I want to stop? Do I want to rebuild it? Do I want to join another band? Like, it was a whole lot of, well, what the hell do I do now? And a lot of what was nagging at me was like, I have this record of material and in my opinion, it's better than the last record. It seems stupid to not do anything with it. So I asked around, I wanted to see if anybody was even interested in throwing a band together. And all I really got was all my friends were like, anytime you need me to fill in for a gig, we can do this. And that's what I did. I took a couple of gigs that way. But it's not a band at that point. It's a right. project or, you know, I mean, like, I guess Eric Clapton can do that, but I can't. I need a band. So I basically just sort of put the looking on hold, and I was like, I'll just record the record myself. Like, I can play all the instruments, so I did. I started tracking the record, and as I started going into pre-production, which is all with my producer anyway. It's really just me and my producer just trying to figure out this part doesn't work, this part doesn't work, whatever, that kind of stuff. And so this is mid-2013, and around that time, like right after we finished pre-production and we started tracking all the other stuff, I get an entire band that's like, listen, we're an entire band. All we need is a front man, and we're ready to go. So I was like, wow, like I'm not even looking, and now I have an entire band right here. So I told my wife, she's like, there's no way you can't try this out, right?
Like, right.
It's being delivered to you. Like, they came to you. They have a studio. They're a formed band, so they're already friends and tight and all that stuff. And so I went and I met with them, and you know, we played a couple of songs off the Diaries, and I was like, cool, let's do this. So then I had already tracked some of the record and stuff, but now I had this new band, and I just put all my energy into that new band. So we started working together, and now the record's delayed for another 3 or 4 months, and now it's time to kind of get back into this. I finished the pre-production with my producer. We get all the arrangements good, but everything's been recorded except for a couple of parts. I have one of my new guitar players, Kaz, he does like a solo on a song and stuff like that. But now I finally finished all the recording, and now we're in post-production, which is taking a year and a day because we just nitpick things to death, my producer and I. But so all these things have happened to delay this record. So it's been a very long, complicated journey, but while I've gone through it, the underlying characteristic of this record is just about how much stuff in the universe there kind of like weighs on you and lets you down, and how the world really can beat you down if you let it. And you know, it's just kind of like a going joke. Like we would have like a great show, and then there'd be like a tornado. You know, like it just and it's. A lot of times it's like my own karma. You put out your own negativity, you get your negativity back. So I'm aware of those things. So I try not to do those things anymore, but I can't get past the fact that like those pressures and those realisms in the world happen, you know, and it's a very crushing sort of thing. So when I decided to title the record, The Reality Crush, that's exactly what that is. You know, you can come out like in the world, like you can be, you know, a young child, and like, I can accomplish anything, but then reality sort of steps in and be like, no, you can't. Like you really can't accomplish anything, like, you know, and I would like to go back and believe that I can, but the reality of it is that I just don't think I can anymore, and that's the crush. You get your dreams kind of crushed, and as depressing as that is, I thought it made for a good title, so that's what we went with.
Awesome. Well, hey, we've been fortunate to have a pretty eclectic group of musicians along the way, and I'm glad to have you aboard. Awesome. You know, it's funny, I worked in radio for years, man, and my producer Mike, we've talked about it, and we've talked about it with other bands on the show as well, where, you know, a lot of these stations, I'm in the Nashville area, and there's, you know, the station here, The Buzz, they dedicate 2 hours a week to local music. That's it.
Yeah.
You think about that for a second.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think about it a lot.
You know? And some stations don't even do 2 hours. Sometimes it's just an hour. They have their hour, you know, mix of, you know, and they play 8 songs and they fill the rest up with commercials. The DJ cracks the mic 3 times and says, oh, yeah, that was so-and-so and that was so-and-so. Coming up, we've got this, that, and the other. And boop, okay, commercial, 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 song, song, song. Hey, the hour's over. All right, now we're back to here's Alice in Chains' Wood. Hey, look, I love Alice in Chains. I love the song Wood. But you know what? Hey, man, how about something different?
Well, you know? Well, it's 20 years old. I mean, like it's had its time in the sun, and I have no problem. Like, I love Wood, too. And, like, when it comes on the radio, I have a lot of trouble turning it off. It's one of those songs for me. But you're right. Like, they've done it, and there's good music out there. I do this. I have my own internet show in full disclosure and stuff, and I was given this show. It's 2 hours a week. I was given this show because I have what is arguably one of the world's best iPods. The reason that is because, like I said before, like I've been playing across the Northeast and, you know, up and down the coast, you know, for a few years, but I am in it for the music. Like, I am a music fan. Like, I love that. And, you know, if you pay enough attention, you're going to find amazing bands, you know, and I'm fortunate to play, and not every show is this way, but, you know, on occasion, like, we'll play with amazing bands, like, amazing, like, I can't believe that I'm sharing a stage with these amazing bands, you know, kind of stuff. And so over the years, like, I guess like 3 years of, you know, pretty much some rabid touring, like, I have an incredible collection of, like, unsigned and undersigned bands and stuff like that, and I have it on my playlist so that when, you know, me and my band are on the road, like, that's what we're listening to. So, like, our, you know, and I throw stuff in there, like, that I'm currently listening to of majors and stuff like that. Like, you know, I'm a huge Tool fan. Like, I love, you know, Day to Remember. I love Rise Against. So that's, like, all interspersed. But my playlists are basically that, and then, like, you know, you'll have, like, Craving Strange, you'll have Midnight Mob, you'll have Last Stand for Lucy, you'll have Lower the Veil. You know, you have all these bands that nobody's ever really heard of, so that whenever I am playing this for, like, my band or other people that are on the road with us, to be like, every other song is like, man, who is that? You know, it's like, you know, like, I want to take, like, almost full credit for, like, getting Sit Puppies popular over here, you know, because I used to play that song all the time. You know, and it's, so basically the guy that owns the internet station was like, hey, do you want a show? I'm like, no. He's like, well, you can just play whatever's on your iPod. And I was like, okay, I can do that. But my point of it is that when I do that, I know these bands. Like, I know them personally. Like, and they'll chime in and text me and, you know, screw with me while I'm doing the show, which makes it funny. And but, like, like you were saying, like, they'll play, like, three or four songs or whatever, and then they'll be done with their hour. Like, if I feel like introducing a band, like, I'll talk about, like, you know, when I met them, where I met them, why they're a good band, what they're working on, you know, all that other stuff, because they're friends of mine. And I'm a true believer. Like, some of these bands, like, I just love. Like, I love them, and I want people to hear them. And unless the person that's spinning that stuff has that sort of attitude, it's just noise. It's just soundtrack. It's nothing. You're never going to convey it to other people. Like, you know, the old days, the classic days of DJs and you know, program directors were like, oh, man, you got to hear this new track from this new band, Journey, or whatever. You know, and that's how those bands broke. Like the Goo Goo Dolls. The Goo Goo Dolls broke that way in Los Angeles. The guy took a liking to name. Like, they lived in a band for 10 years, but this one DJ at KRQ was like, and it wasn't even their single. Like, their single was something else, and this was the B-side, but he really liked the name. And he started playing it in Los Angeles during drive time. And you know what? That song broke, and now they're one of the bigger bands in the world. Like, that's what it takes. And nobody does it anymore, except, you know, people like us.
Right. Yeah, no, it's a really interesting media right now. And, you know, I thought when XM Radio came around that was going to kind of break the mold. It just kind of fell into the same valley that FM did, you know, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, you know. So, there's an interesting change, I think, is coming in music. And I think that, you know, it's people like yourself, me, and all the independent bands that have been on this show. This is our 52nd show on the Revelator title. Before that, we did 76 shows under the old banner Unsigned.
Wow.
So,
congratulations, yeah. I'm standing applause right now.
And we've had bands from all over, from independent bands from Australia, the UK, Canada, all across the United States, and we've even, you know, we've had the pleasure and the luxury of having bigger name bands on. We've had Clint Lowry from Seven Dust. We've had the guys from Clutch on who have taken notice and be like, man, we dig what you're doing, man. We'll come on.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
You know, so, And that's kind of what it's about. You know, it's not about, you know, fame or notoriety really for us. It's about just enjoying what we're doing. But to get back on track, man, the album Reality Crush, I'm interested to hear what it sounds like. You've had obviously a lot of adversity in your personal life and also with the band too. So congratulations for, you know, for sticking it out. And I'm interested to hear what it sounds like. Again, you have to come back. But I'm always interested, you know, you had to go through that name change, right? And
right.
We talked about that earlier, Rebel 9. What was the process like for picking Rebel 9? And also, do you remember any of the band names that didn't make the cut?
Yeah, I remember almost all of that. It was one of the most disastrous periods in my life. I'm not a total control freak. I like to run the band because I tend to run the band. Like, there was nobody else in the band at the time that would step up and sort of take the reins and stuff. So you can't run everything on committee. Like, it just, bands don't operate that way anymore. Like, it's impossible to run everything as a full democracy all the time. A lot of times decisions just need to be made and stuff like that. And like, the simplest example I can think of is like song lists. I mean, like the set list for a show. Now, I sing, so I have a lot of say in how things are going to go set list wise, because you have to kind of, depending on what your touring schedule is, you kind of got to protect your voice. Like, if it's just a one-off, like, I don't care. Like, anybody can do this. It just doesn't matter. But if I'm doing three nights in a row, like, I've got to be careful, like, what, where I'm singing what and whatever. So, like, I would just sort of make those decisions. And then over time, like, the band just sort of atrophied and didn't want to make any decisions like that. So by the time we were at the end of G Davy and looking for a name change, I thought it was going to be a really important team building exercise if I said, look, I'm not deciding this one. This has to be a group decision. And I thought it was brilliant. I thought this is a great idea. You know, this will bring the band closer together. Man, I could not have been more wrong. I could not have been more wrong. I can't even begin to tell you how much infighting there was over that. And, like, everybody's ideas sucked, and nobody liked anybody else's, and everything was a problem. I mean, this was, we had shows. We were playing shows with no name. So, you know, it was remarkably ridiculous, you know. And I was fighting with the band because, like, we had this record that was coming out. Like, we knew the record was coming out. And I was fighting with the band because I handled the business aspects of it, too, and they were not grasping the concept that, like, not only do you have to name the band, but there's a lot of other stuff that happens right after that. First of all, you have to register a domain. Like, in this day and age, you need a site. You need a website. You need a contact address. You know, you can do Gmail, but stuff, it's just not a good idea. So you have to have a domain, a centralized domain. You also have to, if you're going to do something that needs to be trademarked, you have to put in those paperwork too. But you also need, you know, merchandise, and you need logos, and all this stuff needs to be done. Like, and what we should have done is taken a year off and just figured it all out, but I'm an idiot and didn't do that. So I'm trying to impress upon these guys, like, look, it's not just the name change, it's the 400 other things that have to happen as soon as we change the name. Not to mention, I have to start letting people know, like all the bookers in the area here, like, this is our new name, oh yeah, you can reach me here. And, you know, so we started going, and like, it was just like ridiculous names. Like, and it's not ridiculous in the sense that, like, they were stupid. They were just, you can't just pick a name. Like, here's an example. My friend's band in New York City is a band called Mother, right? Now, it's a great name and all that other stuff. Have you ever tried to Google Mother?
Right. Oh, like, yeah, ridiculous, yeah.
Right. So these guys, and it's fine. I don't fault them for it all. Like I said, it's a great name, I don't care. But, like, I'm a little bit more Google return results more minded than they were, I guess, because, you know, and like, one of the names that had come by that the band really, 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 really wanted was Downpour, which I was like, that's great. You know, it's a great name. I Googled it. There was like 75,000 returns. I'm like, and three other bands already named that. Like, and I'm not even talking about, like, you know, like your cousin's band that just plays in the weekend, like touring bands named Downpour. So I'm like, oh, look, I'm not starting from, you know, a fight. I'm not starting with a name fight. Like, we've got actual records coming out, like, you know, and I'm an ASCAP artist and stuff like that, so, like, I have to actually register these things, and I don't need any of that being thrown back to me because somebody in, like, Cleveland is also named that. So, like, that was a big fight. The band, the other guys in the band were like, let's just do it anyway, and I'm like, absolutely not. Like, I had to, like, I didn't have, like, veto powers, but I was like, there's just no way. So we went back and forth with a bunch of things, and we finally came up with a rule. I said, listen, we can't have anything that has a bunch of returns in Google. That's one rule. And I said, I want something with a number. I said, this will narrow everything down. Like, you can always stick a number on something, either in front, in the middle, or behind. It doesn't matter. I said, all the good names are taken. Just assume that all the good names are taken, and that we're going to have to come up with something that has a name and then a nine, you know, and then a number. And I was like, let's go with either 15 or 9. And the first name that came out of that batch was Shift 15, which I still like. I still like it. It was just a little too hard to say. And so that kind of got, that was like on the big maybe pile. And then I wanted to name the band Deadsville 9, which is a production company of a friend of mine who does audiobooks. And I always liked that name. And I was like, dude, can I use that? He's like, absolutely. But then I brought it to the band and they're like, God, that's, that sounds way more metal than we're going to be. we're trying to avoid that. And I was like, all right, well, I was like, I'll put that at the bottom of the maybe pile. But I liked the 9. And then we were going back and forth and back. And it was getting, like heated. Like, every practice we would end with, like, an hour of fighting, like, over this. And everyone would have their ideas, and they think it's great. And I mean, it was disastrous. Like, I can't even convey to you how disastrous this was. And then
naked pictures of Chewbacca.
Yeah, it was horrible. I would never do that again. If I ever change the name, I'm just showing up with the name. Here's the new name. Like, you know, I'd rather just
name.
Right, exactly. I'm never going to do that. And finally, the best part of this whole thing is that my bass player at the time was getting married, and you know, like, the band was really fighting, like, a lot. And so my bass player is getting married. We're all going to this wedding. And we still haven't figured out a name. So we get to the wedding, and I'm sitting there with my wife, and I'm talking to my drummer at the time and his wife. And his wife says to me, like, listen, absolutely nothing. This is Fern's Day. Fern is my bass player's wife. This is Fern's Day. I don't want to hear any band stuff. And I'm like, fine, of course. I would never do that. 2 minutes later, Fern, the bride-to-be, walks up to me at the gazebo that we were all hanging out before the wedding. She's like, what's going on with the name of the band? When are you guys going to figure this out? I'm like, I don't know. So it's this whole thing is like kind of overshadowing everything that we've got going on. And then my bass player goes on his honeymoon. He's like, listen, like, you're in Mexico. He's like, don't call me, don't text me. He's like, I don't have any international plan or whatever. He's like, unless it's an emergency. And I was like, fine. So 3 days later, my drummer calls me. He's like, what do you think of the name Reveal? You know, it's like, it's been so long. It's been like this whole big process. Everybody wants to know what it is. Like, it could be like Reveal, like we're revealing something. And I was like, that sounds stupid. It sounds to me like, you know, like if it was a David Blaine special or, you know, something like that, that'd be cool. But other than that, I just feel like then we're just a magic show. And he's like, all right. So like a little bit later, I hear from him, his wife was like, what about just Revel? And I'm like, perfect. I'm like, we'll put a 9 at the end of it. It'll be fine. I text my bass player in Guatemala or wherever the hell he was. I'm like, I know you said not to text, but what do you think about Revel 9? I really want to go with this. I get back. Fine.
That's fine. Done.
And boom, we were Revel 9.
Awesome.
Very so it's cool, a good man. Story. I mean, it's not a great story in terms of like some affinity, but the struggle to get there is just, it's way funny to look back now, but man, I was ready to throttle these guys when this was going on.
Well, DJ, it's been a pleasure speaking with you, man, and best of luck to you, and definitely keep us in the loop of what's going on, and
absolutely.
I'll do our best to promo you guys and, you know, help you out along the way, and definitely keep us in the loop when the new album comes out, The Reality Crush. If people were interested in finding out more about you guys and also picking up the EP as well that's out right now, I think you can get it on iTunes. Are you guys on CD Baby as well? Or?
We're on CD Baby, we're on iTunes, we're on Amazon, we're basically everywhere that music is sold. I mean, it's sort of automatic these days when you register your projects and stuff. But I mean, you can always find out anything about us from, you know, Revel9.com, and that will lead you to our Twitter, our Facebook, our YouTube, all that other stuff. We're just like every other band, you know, we have all the places.
Awesome, man. Well, we close out with the song All I've Become, which I think is an interesting track given everything we've talked about. Is there anything you'd like to mention about this track before we spin it tonight?
You know, I have an incredibly long story about that one that I won't, I'll save for another time, I guess. But I could just tell you this. This was the first track that was cut from the diaries. My producer was like, this is awful. But I really believed in the song, so I fought and re-edited it and rewrote it and rewrote it and rewrote it. And we were actually playing it once in a show, and I introduced it as my least favorite song ever because I'd worked on it so long. But then by the time we got it, my producer was like, yeah, that's it. He was right, man. He made me make those changes, and he forced me to make that song right. And that song actually ended up on the Grammy ballots in 2012. So there's a lot to be said for fighting for what you want and fighting until it's right. And that's why our albums take so long, because I could just walk into a studio and record, but that just wouldn't be a Revel 9 record at this point.
Very cool, man. Well, hey, DJ, best of luck to you, man, and we'll be in touch. And hey, thanks a lot for hanging out. And this is All I've Become here on Revelator, Revel 9.
I'm still reeling. this fight, but won't back down. Can't help feeling. Come tonight, this all comes down. Hang on and I will reach inside. It's come undone. I can't take you from this life if you won't come. Just hang on and I will reach inside.
Revel 9 here on Revelator. Ah, say that 10 times fast, right? That is Lay My Head. Also, before that, we heard All I've Become. Again, thanks to GJ for coming on the show. Really cool guy. Look forward to hearing the new album once it's released. For more information about Revel 9 and this particular episode of Revelator, head on over to omnes.tv. Again, that's omnes.tv. Click on episode number 52. Huh? Moving right along, you know, and you also find us on Facebook as well, facebook.com/omnes.tv. And of course, my name is Ryan on Twitter, Ryan_unsigned. Find me there. I'm usually tweeting bad jokes and, you know, what have you, and all kinds of cool information and, you know, updates on future guests and all those different things as well. But, our next guest, a band that I'm really excited about. I was actually, wow, these guys are back in it, with a brand new singer. But first, let's check out the brand new single. It's called Rise Up by Saliva here on Revelator.
Life was
Joining us now here on Revelator is Bobby, the singer from Saliva. Bobby, how the heck are you, man?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Currently in the middle of a blizzard right now, and outside of Johnson City, Tennessee. So.
Yeah, man, you know, the weather's been really crazy this year, man, and especially for here, everyone's like, you know, I grew up in the northeast outside of Cleveland, you know, so, you know, when people were like, oh, man, it's been crazy winter, I'm like, yeah, I guess kind of, you know, but where did you grow up, man?
Florida, so yeah, I'm not used to this.
You're like, yeah, snow, cold, not happening for us, yeah. For sure, man.
But I've spent a lot of time in Nashville over the past year, and you know, it's definitely, you know, I've seen some snow there and touring too. I mean, man, it seems like the North is our friend when we're, you know, around the snow season, you know, around the winter time. We're always, right. They book us, you know, in the South, you know, in the summer, and then they, you know, instead of the North, and then, you know, in winter time, we're chasing snow or it's chasing us, you know.
Right. Yeah. I mean, We talked to Dan Mains from Clutch a while back, and he was like, yeah, man, he's like, it's January and we're in Buffalo, you know? So,
yeah, that sounds about right.
Right? But, well, tell you, man, you guys got a lot going on. The new album, Rise Up, is going to be out here, and people obviously can pre-order that album now. But talk to me about you're recording this album, working with Bobby Huff, a guy who's, you know, been in the industry a long time, worked with a lot of great artists. What was it like for you guys going in the studio and you know, laying down a bunch of tracks with him, man?
It was good, man. The process was very smooth, you know. You know, everybody, you know, contributed to this record, and we all had, you know, everyone had their input and their say on the way the songs, and well, I guess the stamp, I guess you can call it. And it was fun. It was a really, really fun experience. I think it was different. You know, the band was always used to making records in LA and tried something different, and, you know, made the record in Nashville. It was very, very cool, man.
Yeah, but Nashville's kind of getting a reputation for being more than country now, man. A lot of bands are coming here and recording. Now, obviously, you know, working with a guy like Bobby is, you know, obviously he's worked with a lot of other bands as well that have been very successful. What is the approach like? I mean, is it more of just how he kind of puts things, or does he kind of help shed a different light on a song or arrangement or tone? What's kind of his drive for you guys?
We were kind of just looking for like a fifth member type deal when it came to recording the record. We weren't really looking for an A-list producer, or we wanted someone that was going to be involved, but it wasn't really, we didn't hire him from a production standpoint. We hired him, you know, because he had written a lot of really, you know, good songs with, you know, rock bands, and he's a really good songwriter. So we really wanted to, you know, work with someone. It was all about getting the best songs. We wanted to make sure that we delivered on this record, you know, the right material. And so that's kind of how we hired him. You know, he'd worked with the band previously too on their last record. The songs that he had written with them and the demos that he had done, they sounded great. So we're like, well, let's give him a shot, you know.
Very cool, man. Well, I'm privileged to have heard the record, and it definitely kind of gets back to kind of the just rock and roll gritty sound that you would expect from the band Saliva, man. So well done, well engineered, produced, the whole deal, man. I really dig it, man. I was jamming it last night a lot. Now, obviously, you know, with obviously an album comes at a tour, and you guys kind of a pretty aggressive touring schedule right now. You guys are basically playing pretty much every state, playing a bunch of shows. What is that like for you, you know, kind of gearing up for that type of run, man?
Man, it's definitely, it's a long one, man. You know, this tour especially, this will be the longest one that I've done with the band. I mean, you know, I've been with the band over 2 years, and I think the longest run we ever did was like 5 weeks or 6 weeks, but, you know, this one was like 2.5 weeks or 2.5 months. So, yeah, it was 10 weeks or something like that. So we're, you know, and you have to think too, we're doing shows like, you know, six in a row, you know, 1 week, five in a row the next week, you know, and then I think the last nine shows of this run are in a row. There's no days off. So, you know, it's definitely like you kind of have to figure out a way to take care of yourself, and, you know, you don't want to like, you want to make sure you can deliver the best show possible every night. So that's my focus, you know what I mean? So, you know, it's try to take care of yourself and talk as little as possible during the day, you know?
Gotcha. Well, I mentioned as a vocalist, man, you know, saving your voice obviously is very key. Taking yourself physically and also the mental toll of, you know, traveling town to town, you know, up and down, you know, load in, load out, you know, rehearsal, all those different things that kind of play into it. Is there anything, you know, yeah, and obviously, you know, balancing home life, man, you know, being away from family and friends and stuff. Is there anything that, you know, you use to kind of help find that balance for a long run like this? And is there anything that you take with you from home that kind of help you along the way, man?
Well, I do, you know, I do Skype and stuff, you know. I guess, you know, definitely it's a good thing that technology, you know, exists and there's things like that, you know, to kind of keep in touch with home. And, you know, I try to stay busy, man, and watch, you know, television series and things like that. You know, I try to, you know, it can be very boring. You know, you play 1 hour a night, you know, and the other 23 hours you're kind of like... You gotta sleep, or you know, you don't know what to do. So.
Now, you mentioned TV series. You into Walking Dead, Game of Thrones, any of that stuff at all? Or
I actually am about to start Game of Thrones. I have both seasons with me. I'm gonna start that. I'm actually gonna start True Detective first. I'm gonna do True Detective, and then I'm gonna do Game of Thrones. But
yeah, dude. I'm a huge Game of Thrones fan, so you're going to enjoy that, man. From the very first episode, you'll be hooked. As far as True Detective, my DVR is backed up right now with all kinds of stuff, so one of these days I got to carve out time to
watch
the seven or eight episodes, you know?
I heard it's incredible, man. So, and there's another guy on the bus with us that, he like said, it's amazing. He hadn't finished it yet, but he said it's amazing, so... I'm gonna get into that for sure, and then I'll do Game of Thrones after it.
Right on, man. Now, a lot of people may not know that you joined the band a couple years ago. Excuse me. Now, what is it like for you when you're out playing shows? You know, people that may not recognize, like, wait a second, that, you know, that's not the same guy, you know, or, and also they, you know, they hear, you know, their favorite Saliva song from off the first couple albums, you know. What is it? Have people approach you after a show and say, you know, hey, man, you know, I really like that. Or, you know, what is that like for you as a vocalist to the front of a band that, you know, obviously is very successful, sold lots of albums all over the world? What is that dichotomy like for you, man?
It's great, man. I mean, I think every compliment, you know, helps. And, you know, it shows that you're doing your job and doing the best that you can. That's what I'm trying to do, you know, just kind of be myself. I'm not trying to fill shoes, or you know what I mean, or be the other guy or whatever. I mean, you know, I'll get people that'll come up and they've said, man, I was actually never really a fan of the band before, and I just came with my, you know, my dad or my friend or someone or whatever, you know, and like, man, you were killer, man, it was awesome, you know. It's like different for me and different for the band. And you know, I've had people come up and ask how I lost all that weight. I mean, it's crazy, dude. Like, you know, you get everything, man. So I mean, a lot of people, I've had people, you know, a lot of times people will come up and say, man, I saw you guys like 10 years ago, and this is the best that this ever sounded. And so that's always good, you know. You know, like I said, every compliment is great. Yeah.
Well, it's got to be nice also to meet the old fans that appreciate what you're doing, and also out there making new fans too, obviously, is key. And I think with this album, you guys are definitely going to do that. Now, when they say, hey, man, how'd you lose all the weight? You just like, yeah, you know, I've been doing the Weight Watchers thing, you know?
Jenny Craig. No, you know, I just, I kind of just like smile, and sometimes I go with it, man, but, you know, or, you know, it gets to a point to where I'm just like, not me, bro, not me, you know?
That's hilarious, man. Now, was there a initiation period for you when you joined the band? Those guys kind of give you a hard time, or were they pretty,
No, these guys have been doing it a long time, man. We clicked immediately, and it was like one of those things, like, how are you going to hate the singer, really, man? That's like, because, you know, I'm smarter than they may think, so I'll always pay back, which could be tenfold, you know? So.
Right, there you go. That's a good way to go about it, man. Just mm-hmm. set the tone early, you know?
Yep. they're great guys, so it's good.
Very cool, man. Now, people may not know a lot about your background musically. I mean, could you share an early music memory with us on the show about, you know, the kind of, like, you know, something, you know, whether it was a concert you went to or something early in your childhood or as a teen that, you know, that was the moment you're like, you know what, I want to be a singer in a rock band?
Well, I went to so many shows when I was a kid. You know, I always liked drums. You know, I always played drums growing up, and my dad was in bands and stuff, and so, you know, I was influenced by that. My first concert that I ever went to was Whitesnake in like 1988, I think, or something. Nice. In South Carolina, and I mean, dude, I was always a huge fan of music, man. MTV, Headbangers Ball, all that stuff. I was like glued to it. So, you know, I wanted to be in music at a very early age. So, you know, and here I am.
There you go, man. Well, hey, Bobby, it's a pleasure speaking with you, man. Best luck to you guys on the road. And, hey, man, I mean, hopefully we get you guys back on after your run. And, you know, I'm sure you guys are going to have a very, very busy year. If people want to get the album Rise Up, which I believe comes out, a couple weeks now.
April 29th.
April 29th. Thank you. How can people find out more about, one, you know, where you guys are going to be playing at, and two, how they can get the album, man?
It'll be in stores everywhere or online, you know, iTunes and all that stuff, and saliva.com, Facebook, you know, Saliva as well, and Instagram, Twitter, and all the social media things. That's how to find us. Check out all the dates, and we have a new video for our single Rise Up that'll be out in the next week or two. So Vivo's doing like a thing with it. It's cool. So.
Now, as far as video is concerned, is that something you personally really enjoy doing? And also, do you guys get a lot of say in the concept of the video at all?
Basically, we have two different directors submit a few different concepts, and this one director submitted a really awesome concept that was just different, and we went with it. And shooting videos are very long and boring, and it takes like all day until you get to your parts, but. You know what, man? In the end, the way it looks and the way it comes out is like all worth it. It's all great. So, you know?
Awesome, man. Well, hey, I appreciate you cutting some time out for us, and best luck to you guys on the road. And I may actually have to jump in the car tonight and come up and see you guys, man.
Dude, awesome, man. Well, yeah, let us know.
Awesome, cool. Well, hey, Bobby, take care, man, and best luck to you guys on the road.
Thanks, buddy.
That is Bobby from Saliva. Those guys, obviously, you know, hitting the road this spring and in the summer. So definitely keep it locked if you're a fan of those guys, or you know had been a fan and didn't realize they were back in the mix again. They are definitely back. The new album's fantastic. You can pre-order it now. The album officially is released April 29th. Really, really good stuff. I actually got an advanced copy of the album, so it's really, really cool. And I appreciate those guys, you know, cutting some time out in the middle of their tour to come on the show. We much appreciate that. We appreciate anybody that comes on, man. You know, if you got the time, you want to come on and, you know, talk about the album, no matter how big, how small you are, you know, we're definitely all about that. And kudos to those guys. And again, for more information about Saliva and this particular episode of Revelator, head on over to omnes.tv. Again, that's omnes.tv. We've got a lot of really cool acts in the works. Falling Through April is coming on. We've got BB Bell, you know, a lady who's been in the rock and roll industry for a long, long time. For older listeners, you may recognize her from her 74, 75 Playboy spread as well. So she's been in the business a long time. You know, really heavy hitters with, you know, Mick Jagger and, you know, the Ramones and, you know, all those different things. So it'd be interesting to talk to a musician who's been around and has really hung out with a lot of the greats. And she's here in Nashville and looking forward to her new project as well. Very, very excited about it. And some other great things in the works. Definitely keep it locked here. Or you can find me on Twitter, Ryan_Unsigned. Thanks to all our guests tonight. Bobby from Saliva, DJ from Revel9, Mike. Wonderful job as always. Hey, it seems harder to enjoy the finer things in life. Until next time, do so, everybody.
This was episode 52, So I Heard You Lost Some Weight. For show notes or links to topics discussed on this episode of Revelator, or to experience previous episodes, head on over to omnes.tv, that's omnes.tv, and click on Revelator. Thanks for listening.